All true. And into hour number three, what's going on? I am Jim Rome. Had a couple of days off last week. Well, one day last week and one day this week. Good to be back. Very good to be back. And I'm broadcasting from the Quicken Loans Studios in Southern California. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. L.A. Chargers offensive lineman Zach Goldich. That's quite a story to tell. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. Speaking of stories to tell, Podcast Tuesday, Ep 39 of the Jim Rome Podcast, Inky Johnson, an absolutely electric figure with an amazing story to tell. I can't wait to have a conversation with him, too. That's coming up a little bit later on today. Look for that to drop. In the meantime, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. A couple of quick emails to hit, and then we move into hour three with a new topic. This email says, Dear Jim, I have three countdown clocks too. One to my lunch break, one to the time I get off, and one to the time when my wife goes to sleep. Yours, Hates His Life Guy. Brett from Bugahaw. War Alvey, also having the authority to slip this email into the Inky Johnson episode. Hey, Brett. Still not going to make the podcast. You're not making any of my podcasts, and especially that podcast. Not ever. All of the Jim Rome podcasts, which air once a week, are pretty amazing. But especially this one with Inky. You're not getting in there. You're not getting in the worst one I've ever done. And remember the podcast. It's a different show. I think some of you are still confused. It is a different show. It's premium content. These are interviews that I'm generally not doing on this show, almost exclusively for that podcast. So what you hear there is something totally different than what you'd hear on this show. Romy, you have my vote regardless, but a nice demand would be that the XR4TI has to set up a microwave behind the glass and reheat fish for the entire show. Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. Oh, the fish alarm. As long as it's on the other side of the glass. Man, you got to be some kind of bag to bring fish to work and microwave it. That's offensive. That is so out of line. It's probably a fireable offense in most workplaces. Hey, Rome, for the Box of Chaos. Hey, Rome, how about dinner and a movie with Janet? Regards, that rapper who hit on her. Dan in Denver, FTN. Yeah, Dan, that's not going to go in the Box of Chaos. You can't have a night with a dinner and a movie with my wife. I want in, but not that badly, all right? No. Dear Jim, we will see you on Woodscopes. Signed, 1992 Technology. Extreme close-ups of a massive melon and five-hour runtime. Drew in West LA. Is that how that show goes? How much of that is true? Does he use 1992 Technology? Are there extreme close-ups on a massive melon, and is the show 5 hours long? Hawk has been on the show before. He says the last two are true. He's not using 92 technology? Periscope, I think, was not available in 1992, Drew. You know that. All right, new topic. Let me change up on you. Ask yourself this question. What in the holiest of Sam Hell would it take for me to roll into work after 4 days off with two game sevens and a Stanley Cup final to talk about and yet actually make time for a European tour golf take? European tour golf. And not a Sunday European tour golf take, but a third round Saturday European tour golf take. Now, if you don't have the answer, don't sweat it. Rory McIlroy and Sam Horsfield probably do. Because while we were all napping it out stateside across the lake, Rory and Sam were busy taking dead aim. Not at the flagstick, but at some poor, innocent marshal who picked the absolute worst spot on the track to patrol his section of the ropes. Now look, I know even the biggest golf dorks in the world weren't psycho enough to wake up in the middle of the night for this. So let me set the scene very quickly. Rory and Sam are on the par 5, 17th at the Wentworth Club in England. Both dudes have about 275 left to the green. Neither one of these loose sticks have any intention of laying up. Let's start with Sam. He plays first from the fairway. Here's how it sounded.
Come on, this is a bullet. Just a little too far left. Bounces off the marshal there into the rough. That was 10 feet from being really good. I think he's okay. It doesn't look like you hit him too hard.
That's four folks have been hit by golf balls today. Dangerous sport.
Uh-oh! Let's be real clear about what happened there. A dead pulled laser off the face of three wood, absolutely dotting a marshal on the fly, square in his right leg. And this dude wore it like a champ in front of the entire gallery. Never mind that he probably wanted to roll over and die right there. He somehow managed to get off his backside and back on his feet. What a hero. What a legend. And a memo to the guy doing the play-by-play. In what world can you say, this is a bullet, and doesn't look like it hit him too hard in the same exact sentence?
This is a bullet. Doesn't look like it hit him too hard.
How can it be both? It's a bullet, but it doesn't look like it hit him too hard.
This is a bullet. Doesn't look like it hit him too hard.
Well, you talk about having a high tolerance for somebody else's pain. I mean, come on. It can't be both those things. Now, I would love to tell you that the marshal limped off to a bag of ice and some workers' comp, but unfortunately for him, Rory McIlroy still had to play the exact same shot.
Now, McIlroy. Oh, that's left as well, isn't it? Oh, my gosh, it's the same guy. Other leg.
Oh.
Oh, my word.
I've never seen that. That might be a record.
Might be a record. Might be a record. What record is that? The record for getting dotted the most possible amount of times in two shots? Same guy, different leg. I mean, in succession, back to back. You gotta love that Rory couldn't wait 10 seconds to give that marshal a matching tailor-made tattoo on his other leg. Because why have one obliterated stump when you can have two? Remember, it's not like these guys were playing lob wedges from a buck 10 out. These bros were smashing stingers from 275 and putting them right on that marshal. And I don't think that a couple of signed golf gloves are going to make this poor dude feel any better. How about a signed doctor's note for the highest grade morphine in the pharmacy? How about signing a six-figure check to get this guy some prosthetics? My man probably thought that he was safe. You know, considering Mr. Brain Job himself, Phil Mickelson, was not in the fairway. But Rory McIlroy and Sam Horsfield had no problem going back-to-back with classic, hefty gallery nukes.
Hefty.
I mean, why hit the green when you can hit an innocent life instead? Twice. Back-to-back. Same guy, different sticks. Hey, look, there are hazards of the job. And then there's getting struck by lightning twice. In this case, screaming golf balls off the bats of pros from 275 out. The more I think about this, the more I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying lightning would not have hurt as much. Get this dude some frozen peas and a purple heart to match his purple legs. And get Rory and Sam a 7 to lay up with next time.
Now, McIlroy. Oh, that's left as well, isn't it? Oh, my gosh, it's the same guy.
Listen to the sound that makes. That's the sound of Rory from 275 out smashing flesh.
Now, McIlroy. Oh, that's left as well, isn't it? Oh, my gosh, it's the same guy.
Listen to the gallery reaction, too.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my word.
I've never seen that. That might be a record.
Yeah, and I'm sure that is a record. Back-to-back, dot jobs, on the same guy, different legs. Yeah, I think you're pretty safe in saying that's a record. Man, poor dude. I feel badly for that guy. Really badly for that guy.
That might be a record.
1-800-636-8686. Let's try a phone call. Got a phone line open for you right now. Man, I want to give away a golden ticket in the worst way imaginable. It's not happening. It's not happening. Let's go to Las Vegas. Dave in Vegas. It's good to have you, Dave. How are you?
Hey, what's happening, James?
What's up? How are you, Dave?
I got a question. You know, watching this pregame show is like watching does nothing for me to get pumped up for a hockey game. I mean, am I watching a show at the Excalibur or am I watching a hockey game? The NHL is clearly trying to entertain the millennials. We're 6 points to 4 points. Also, Knights winning the Cup their first year does nothing to impress me, considering the NHL is now a 50 and over non-check league. We're watching the National Hockey. We're not watching the National Hockey League anymore. We're watching the Knights Hockey League. This is G-Money. Rack me, James.
All right, Dave. See you, bud. Don't agree with any of that, so I can't really rack you. Wait a minute. G-Money? He just went self-gloss. Come on, Alvin.
No.
Alvin, you're just spending all your time trying to figure out who you're going to give a golden ticket to. Gave you that new authority. Bro, I cannot believe you let that go. James, this is G-Money. Rack me. All right, let's be very clear about this. We were late getting to it, but he got run. And not because of the take, but because he tried to self-gloss. There are very few rules on this show. It's been like that since day one. Have a take, don't suck. Personal appearance is not show fodder. We don't talk about, quote, bums. And we do not self-gloss. If you get gloss, or you get a handle, or you get a nickname, it comes from the show. You don't tell us who you are, we tell you who you are. It's just one of the rules of the show. So you can't come in here and say, hey, no, this isn't Dave in Vegas, James. It's G-Money. But the good news is, G-Money, you have joined a very, very exclusive club. I want to know what the hell you're doing on the other side of the glass, Alvin. I mean, I hype you up. A segment or two earlier, I talk about, oh, you're the most tenured member of the XR4TI, Alvin. I unequivocally trust you with a golden ticket, Alvin. You're the man, Alvin. And then like 5 minutes after the fact, Alvin finally gets around to bringing the hammer on this guy.
We're watching the Knights Hockey League. This is G-Money. Rack me, James.
All right, Dave. See you, bud. Don't agree with any of that, so I can't really rack you. Wait a minute. G-Money? He just went self-gloss. Come on, Alvin. Way to go, Alvin. Way to ring that guy up the same day, Alvin. Way to ring that guy up the same week, Alvin. Way to ring that cat up the same year, Alvin. 1,000, 21,000, 100 Mississippi. Alvin, come on, man. What the hell did you do over the weekend, Alvin?
Step your game up.
What do you have to say for yourself, Alvie? That was just embarrassing. If it took you that long to push the hammer button, how long is it going to take you to put him in that club that he so richly deserves to be a part of? Dude, I'm seriously rattled. Can you get off my ass? We have an interview coming up next. Right. And had you hit that guy, had you run that guy when you should have run that guy, you'd have all the time in the world, Alvin. You really would. But you're chasing because it took you like an hour to do your job. Dude, get off my ass. Man, you get one little cold. Get off me, Van Smack. Dude, I'm on tilt. Get off my back, man. Mill's riding me. You're riding me. Hawk thinks he's the boss of me. Jesus. Come on, Van Smack. All right, Alvin. It's all good. You're fine. Don't do it again, bro. You know you can't self-gloss. What's the most important aspect of a quarterback's game? It's got to be size, right? Arm strength, right? Speed. If you ask the experts, the answer is simple. It's accuracy. Hiring for your business is not that much different. You're not looking for attempts. You're looking for completions. You're looking for the right candidate for the job. No other job site is built for accuracy like ZipRecruiter. Here's how this works. One click sends your job post to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. The result? Accurate matches to people that you would love to hire. You need a stat to back it up? Here it is. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through that site in just one day. Accurate matches. It's what makes ZipRecruiter the smartest way to hire. And you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. Once again, great service. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. ZipRecruiter.com/Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. We continue through hour number three. I'm Jim Rome. Nice to have you on the program. Nice to have you here. As promised, we're joined right now by an offensive lineman for the LA Chargers. He was a first-team All-Mountain West player at Colorado State, part of an offensive line that allowed only one sack per game last season. That was fifth best in the country. A two-time state discus champion, recipient of the NFF Inspiration Award. He recently signed with the Chargers as an undrafted free agent. Zach Goldich is my guest. Zach, it is really nice to have you on the show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing really good. How about you?
Good. Great. I'm great. Zach, really nice to talk to you. You know, you've got an amazing journey, which I think some people may be familiar with. But why don't we start just a few weeks back first to when you got word that the Chargers were going to sign you as a free agent. It's the moment that every football player dreams of. So what was it like for you when that came true and that became a reality?
Yeah, I guess it was just a sign that all the hard work had paid off. But then the hard work was just beginning. It was a celebratory moment, but at the same time, it's like now I know I'm starting from the bottom again. I got to work my way up. Just because they gave me a call and said that they wanted me on the team doesn't mean that I'm guaranteed a spot. So I'm out here doing the best I can to get a job.
You know, Zach, you kind of led me right to the next point because people around you obviously were hyped up and excited about that signing, but you were very quick to remind everybody that it's only one step on the road. And you said, quote, "I've simply just put my foot in the door and now I have to make my way to the table. There's no point standing at the front door while everyone's eating," end quote. I really love that quote. How would you describe your mindset going into minicamp?
I'm trying to be like a sponge. You know, I'm trying to take everything in. There's a lot to take in at once. And, you know, those guys here have been playing, longer than I've been playing football my entire life. You know, those guys here who've been playing football, since I was in high school. So, I mean, there's guys that know what they're doing. They're great at what they're doing. And I got to compete with those guys. So I'm just trying to grind the hardest I can and soak in everything I can from these vets and the coaches around me.
L.A. Charger, Zach Goldich is my guest. I mean, Zach, the fact that you're with the Chargers is even more remarkable when we go back 6 years. You're from Aurora, Colorado, and 6 years ago, you went to the midnight screening of The Dark Knight. Roughly 20 minutes into that movie, a gunman came into the theater next to you and opened up fire. A bullet came through the wall. It hit you in the neck just below your ear, and I want to be extremely respectful about this because it's incredibly traumatic, and I can understand where you might not want to talk about it, but you have said, and I quote, "What I hold on to right now is a story, not just about myself, but about everyone else. I can carry that and represent them through what I do and how I carry myself," end quote. Once again, I have to ask you, where does an attitude and an approach like that come from?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I guess it's just a credit to everybody who's been a part of my life. They say it takes a village to raise a child. So my parents put a lot in me. The people I surrounded myself with, the people that, just happened to come in my life. I think it's just a credit to them, because I took away a little something from everybody. The resiliency of my community, and my family, my friends. My high school football team, that's where I get it from.
Zach Goldich, my guest, I would imagine so. And then your own personal resiliency. You know, after you were hit, you walked from the theater and you found some guys doing some road work and one of them gave you the start of some medical attention. What do you remember about the rest of the night?
It was just hectic. I started losing a lot of blood. So I started to get lightheaded. And the guy that was holding the towel on my neck asked the officer to take me to the hospital. So I was rushed to the hospital and I was treated, cause obviously it's a pretty significant wound in a precious area. There's a lot of stuff going on in your neck, obviously. So they had to make sure that nothing, no shrapnel was in there, didn't hit anything, that would be a major concern. But I just remember the hospital being hectic, like an ER scene in a trauma movie or a trauma show. That hospital did the best they could. They treated everybody. It's not every day that you get patients like that rushing in. So the hospital I went to did an outstanding job that night.
Los Angeles Chargers offensive lineman Zach Goldish is joining us to talk about his story and his background. You know, Zach's amazing. Another amazing aspect of this was roughly a month before that night, you had committed to play football at Colorado State, but you had to miss the opening practices and the first game while you recovered. Your coach at the time said that you still went to every single practice, and you told him, quote, "Coach, I want this to be a lesson that you can use for the rest of your life. If there's an excuse any other kid can give that's worse than mine, I'd like to hear it," end quote. Once again, a really amazing attitude to me. How do you explain that mindset, even as somebody that young?
I mean, you know, because as soon as I was hit, you know, that night of the shooting, I ran out. I was conscious. I was able to walk, talk, breathe. You know, so I knew that I was going to live, you know, and I was going to be fine. You know, so it's just who I am. You know, I don't miss things. I try to not be late to anything. You know, if I was, you know, I didn't go with the intentions to practice, obviously, but if I could be there, I was going to be there. Not only just because that's who I am as a person and as a player, but, I needed to be there for my teammates, for my friends, for everybody who was in support, because I think it would have been easier for everybody else to, you know, not worry about me as much if I can get back to my normal life, as quickly as possible.
You know, Zach, it seems to me that even you and I have this conversation right now in 2018 is not an easy conversation at all to have. And as you said, that you were just 17 at that time. And then suddenly everybody is sticking a camera in your face. And obviously football pales in comparison to the importance of living. But at the same time, you've talked about how you leaned on football after that. What do you mean by that?
You know, football has always been my escape, not only as a way to get through the shooting, you know, but throughout stress throughout my entire life. It was just a way to get away from everything, you know, because when you're on the football field, the only thing that matters is football. I'm not really thinking about anything else. So to have something to escape to, something to lean on, was great. And, you know, if you've ever played football, if you've ever been part of an organized sport, you know the importance of being on a team. You know, and that event really brought my teammates together. And so to just lean on their support, you know, that's what I needed, and that's what I went towards.
And then the truth is, there were roughly 80 students from your high school, including 20 football players, at the movie theater that night. So you became a role model and an inspiration for a lot of people. What was that experience like for you?
I embraced it as much as I could. You know, I think I handled it fairly well. You know, I always tell people, you know, if this were to happen to anybody, you know, I'm kind of glad it happened to me. Because I don't know how other people would have handled it. You know, and I mean, what you're saying is you became an inspiration and a role model, and I continue to share my story. Because there's one person out there who's listening to this right now who's going to take something away from it, and they're going to apply it in their life, and it's going to help them go through something. It's not everybody, but there's going to be one person out there. And so that's what means the most to me, because if I can just help one person, you know, if some person can pull one thing away from my story, it makes it all worth it, you know. So,
100%. And that's why I'm so glad you're willing to share that story. As part of that story, the homecoming game that year, you scored a touchdown on a handoff. It was an enormous moment. What was the play call, and what do you remember that feeling being like when you hit the end zone?
I have no memory of what the play call was. All I remember is we were up by a lot, you know, so we can kind of mess around a little bit. And, you know, my high school coach just came up to me and said, "Hey, do you want to get the ball?" I was a senior, and, you know, I never get the ball during games. So I was like, "Heck yeah, I want to get the ball." So, you know, they told me just to line up in the backfield, run to the right, you know, right behind the guard, right in that hole, you know. So I just grabbed the ball and just ran for it as fast as I could.
It was an amazing moment, actually. You know, Zach, you talk about how if you can impact one person, if one person's listening, that makes it all worth it. You know, as I mentioned, the bullet hit you in the neck a fraction of an inch in any direction, and the results could have been even worse. When you go through an experience like that, do you look at life differently as a result? What did it do for your entire perspective?
I mean, I think that anybody that goes through a near-death experience has a different perspective on life. You know, they enjoy the little things. They tell people they love them. They embrace, you know, the view, the smells, the sounds. You know, for it to come that close, to being completely different from my life. And then I can be here today, see, smell, taste, tell people I love them, play the sport that I love, do everything I would have done if this never happened. It definitely hits home. And I don't take anything for granted. You know, I tell people I love them. I enjoy the little things. And it's been amazing since, to be honest, because there's things that people don't see or they don't appreciate. And then I'm over here appreciating everything and just taking everything in the best I can. So,
my man, I think you're amazing. I've got one final question. Knowing everything you've been through and all the work that you've put in, what do you think it's going to feel like to put on Chargers gear during minicamp?
It's gonna be crazy, I don't really know. I really can't put it into words. Throughout OTAs, throughout rookie minicamp, I've worn a Chargers helmet and it still really hasn't hit me. This is a team in the National Football League and not many people get to have this opportunity. It's going to feel great. I'm going to try my best. I'm just going to do what I do because I got here for a reason. And, I'm just going to let the rest take care of itself. I'm having fun regardless. It's been an amazing experience. I'm so appreciative of the Chargers for allowing me to have this opportunity.
I've got profound respect and admiration for you, Zach, and I know everybody listening does too. I really appreciate you sharing that story because I know for a fact that you help a lot more than just one person. I really appreciate it a lot, Zach. Great to have you on the show. Good luck with everything, and I hope we can do it again soon. I'd love to run you down again and get caught up.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's been a blast.
Yeah, you too, Zach. I loved it. Loved every minute of it. You're an amazing guy. Zach Goldich, L.A. Chargers offensive lineman. He was a first-team All-Mountain West player at Colorado State. And that is just a mind-blowing story, the way he reacted to that and the way he took that on, the responsibility he accepted, the way he led from the front afterwards, the perspective he has right now as a young player, a young person. Absolutely incredible. Your thoughts on that when we come back. Telephone number is toll-free. 1-800-636-8686. Take the opportunity. If you heard that and you want to share your thoughts on that, go ahead and do so right now. In the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. That was Zach Goldich of the LA Chargers. Let's get you a sports update. Here's the very... Lots of reaction to Zach Goldich. Understandably so. What an amazing interview that was. Could not be more impressed with him for so many different reasons. This email says, "Dear Jim, from time to time, somebody comes on your show with crazy insight and wisdom beyond what's represented in their years on this earth and even beyond their experiences. We call it the it factor. Many times, if I could buy stock in Zach Goldich, I would. That dude has it in spades. You're not so bad yourself. Give yourself a tongue. James R. Barnes, attorney at law, Pensacola." Thank you, James. On Twitter, at Roboter tweets, "That interview with Zach is one of the best I've ever heard. Hashtag real man. Hashtag real life." At Charger Fan tweets, "What an incredible story. I had no idea what he had been through. I am really rooting for Zach to make the team." I think a lot of people are now. God, there's so many things he said that I could not believe. I think the most powerful thing he said was when he said, "I'm glad it happened to me. I'm glad it happened to me because I could handle it, and I'm not sure how many other people in that same situation would have been able to handle it, so I'm glad that it happened to me," which I thought was amazing. And I think that he knew where he was when he told that story because he talked about, if I could just inspire one person who's going through something. The whole thing was just so impressive for somebody like that, that age, to go through what he went through, to respond to that. Amazing. Just amazing. I really hope he makes that team. And even if he doesn't, he's going to win big at whatever he does. This email says, "Hey, now, wait a minute. That guy from like 2 segments ago self-glossed. I better run him. Signed, Alvin, zoned out on the board. War hearing G-Money get reset in the week that was when Alvin finishes it next month. War Alvin finally finishing his taxes and sending out his family's 2017 Christmas card. War me being excited to find out whether or not Rex gets run from hour one. Seth and Wisco. So true. Even worse than Alvin not running him is the reason Alvin gave me during the break for not running him. That the guy deked him by going with the self-gloss at the end of the call instead of the top of the call, so Alvin was not ready for it. Dude, that's so weak. Dude. And then he tries to keep digging. He's like, dude, you know what that's like? That's like facing Hideo Nomo for the first time. Exactly like that, Alvin. Yeah, now I get it. Why didn't you say so? Or why don't you run a guy who self-glosses regardless of when he self-glosses? Dude, do you remember Hideo Nomo? It's like when you face him for the first time. It's like Fernando Valenzuela, dude. I don't know, Alvin. Dude, where's the ball? I can't swing it what I can't see. Strike three, call. Where did the ball go? It's in the catcher's glove, huh? You know what, Alvin? Do me a favor. You already missed on ringing this guy up when you should have. Just go ahead and put him in the club already.
Levi the Trash Man.
Ah! It's Iceman.
Ah! Lonnie Carter in Spokane.
Ah! Yeah. Ah!
Bighorn from Windsor, Ontario.
Ah! They call me the bowling ball here in Tampa.
Ah!
Jay Dizzle.
Ah! Manny Cheeseburger over here.
Ah! Who by the name of Shot Callers.
Ah! The Clone Prophet.
Ah! This is the Grump.
Ah! This is the Grouch.
Ah! Moldoggy in NorCal, East Bay to be exact.
Ah! The Dougler. I'm from the city of fad diets and yoga pants.
Ah! The Zookeeper.
Oh, good gloss. Where did that come from?
At a buddy's wedding.
Ah! So you gotta call me Rooster.
Ah! Actually, this is Garbage Man, Brad.
Ah! Not Jonathan, it's Jeff.
Ah! My boys call me the Cracker Jack.
Ah! G-Money.
Actually, they call me Sexy Rexy from New Mexico.
They call me the Red Dog.
Let's go with Horse Monkey today.
On the court, they call me the Tree Frog.
This is G-Money, Rack Me James.
All right, Dave. All right, I got to ask the question. Wait, is G-Money? It the same G-Money?
He's been self-gloss. Come on, Alvin.
No.
Alvin, are there two G-Monies, or did that guy get over on you twice? You got to go back and listen to that again. I want to hear those things back to back. There's two G-Monies. There's not two G-Monies. There's obviously one G-Money. Only one guy would be foolish enough to gloss himself G-Money. It's got to be the same guy. Alvin, this is getting worse, not better for you, son.
G-Money.
I'm listening. I'm waiting.
This is G-Money, Rack Me James.
All right, Dave. See you, same buddy. Guy. Same guy.
G-Money.
He's gotten over twice. You know what's going to happen now? Now this knucklehead will be calling all the time. Sliding in. And let that be word to you, Hawk. This guy's going to give you a different name. He's going to try and see how many times he can G-Money us. G-Money, you got over twice, man.
G-Money.
Leave it alone. Let that
G-Money.
Be your walk-off. 52 days until smack-off. 52 days until the nearly quarter-century-old makes its long-awaited debut on TV. So, if you want to see this thing for the first time ever, once again, make sure you find your way to CBS Sports Network. Figure that out before it's too late, because these 52 days are going to go by in a hurry. And remember, I'm not in for every one of those days. I'm not exactly sure what to expect. In the 52 days, anything can happen, but I do know what I think. What I think I can expect in 51 days. That is the classic pre-fight weigh-in RSVP from one Vic in NoCal. The dude ripped the entire thing back in 2010. It has been that long. But his RSVP calls might be almost as memorable as his smack-off calls. Nobody owns that space like Vic. Just ask Vic.
Rome, this is not a RSVP call. This is the RSVP call. Dude, I invented the RSVP call. I invented clones interacting on social media. I'm the single most influential force in the jungle in the past 20 years. Everywhere you look in the jungle, you see my influence.
That call was from the day before the smack-off last year. Broadway Vic strutting in his mink coat and his white cleats, like he always does, to remind everyone that he invented the RSVP call. But that wasn't the only reason he showed up on smack-off Eve. He also had something for Leff, who at that time was about to defend his 2016 title.
You know, last year I gave Leff props on Twitter for his call, but I didn't do that because I thought his call was good. I only did that so that you would retweet me and I would gain new followers, and it worked. Come to find out, Lef put his call together last year by having this little group of like 15 guys on Twitter all giving him ideas and like giving him one-liners he could use and stuff like that. Yeah, that's right. Lef crowdsourced the material for his call last year. Nicely done, Lef. Look, I don't do this crap, okay? I fly solo, old school. It's just going to be me, my phone, my brains, and enough gonad to power a locomotive. Thanks for the vine, Rome. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You know, I kind of miss that voice. And you know why I think I miss that voice? Because it's been like 4 months since I've heard that voice. Victor, where you at, bro? I'm not looking for your RSVP call right now. I know better than that. I'm just looking for you to check in once in a while. I've not heard from this dude since he tried to rip a Masterbuilt smoker from me back in January. Is that what it takes now, Vic? Do I need to wheel out a smoker? I hope not, because it's 52 days until the smack-off and 58 or 51 until your RSVP. I really hope I'm not waiting another 51 days to hear from you, especially since Rick in Buffalo has been blowing me up and taking runs at you left and right.
I saw the video clip of Vic and NoCal's call yesterday. I felt really bad for you having to sit through those horrendous impersonations in stale takes. The pained look on your face and sympathy laugh said it all. Vic's like the old family dog who you finally got to put down. You feel terrible about it, but when all he's doing is running into walls and peeing on the carpet, there's no other choice. It's time to put the final bullet in Vic and NoCal. I know you're too nice to do it, so I'll gladly perform the honors. Rest in peace, Victor.
Vic, come on, man. The jungle's better when you swing through. Grab a vine, swing on through. Which brings me to Alvin DeLauro's smack-off promo. It is done. The 2018 version for July 20th. Alvin, let it roll.
And Jimmy, this call is about to go so old school. By the end, you're going to swear your studio is haunted by the souls of Smackers past.
Damn it, you loser.
Fat, puffy, human cattle.
Think about that, Jim. That's got to be the stupidest thing anyone has ever said.
My fellow competitors, Chael, Mike, Vic, Steve, Cam. Is there a Cam? I don't know.
Smackoff 24 is July 20th, where the best of the best go at it for the right to be king of smack. And if you win, you get $5,000 cash.
Everybody in the goddamn jungle knows who I am and what
this con man would waterboard his own mother if there was a buck to be made.
You are entering a lion's den full of the biggest haters on the planet.
Most of you I've chewed up like a dead hooker in a wood chipper.
It's still called the smack off, not the heartwarming moment off.
Invite only. You have to qualify.
You at the party, Dan Smack.
And for the first time ever, we're going to put it on TV.
14 the others.
$5,000 to the winner. Nothing for second place.
Calm down. That's enough.
And I'm coming for all the legends.
It doesn't matter what you think.
But these days, I'm also known as every host's dream.
It's host's dream, you loser.
You can call me and tell me to my face. 780.
Sometimes I get goosebumps thinking about how great I am.
Shut up.
Tell me how my rash stays.
I am here, Jim, to make the smack-off great again.
Time for me to die.
Lef, I don't know what you and the Bud Light Brigade have in store, but you ain't winning the damn thing. Legends never die, Romy.
Hey, want a bet, punk?
There it is. Alvy's 2018 promo. Are you going to add to that thing, or is that it, bro? It was good. It was good. Is there any more? Just kidding, Alvy. You're all good. Hey, clone, snoring is disrespectful and it's offensive. You need to stop right now. Get a Zipa. Make everybody happy. Zipa is 100% guaranteed to work. ZYPPAH.com. My thanks to Kevin Weeks, Tom Haberstroh, Zach Goldich, the XR4TI. Clones, nice job. Do better tomorrow. Keep coming. We're coming into the sweet spot of the summer. Lots going on. I laid it out. We got three different clocks that are spinning right now. You're running out of time for a few things. Keep it right here. It is Podcast Tuesday. Inky Johnson is going to join me later on. You do not want to miss that. Look for it. Thank you for listening. Have an amazing day. And I will see you again shortly. We're out.